Falcons fans, it's been a few weeks, but Daniel Cox and I are back for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. I'm Jay Adams. Daniel is here with me. We just finished up 2013 Falcons mandatory minicamp. The three-day minicamp has come to a close. We are just a few hours past when Mike Smith actually wrapped it up, and we're going to give you our thoughts because that's what we do.
That's because everyone's riding on those thoughts.
I think more people ride on those thoughts than we maybe think.
You think?
No, probably not.
I just know today feels like the last day of school.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? It's the last day of school, and then you're on summer break, except summer break is like 3 weeks instead of
36
3 months.
Days. Yeah. I counted it.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm excited for training camp, and you really kind of got that feel during mini camp. I think that's what it does for all of us.
Yeah.
For players and for us, too. It's just throwing you into – I mean, a little taste of training camp and what that's going to be like.
Taste of the heat. All that stuff,
all the good stuff. All right, so for today's mini camp podcast, Daniel and I have come up with five things that stood out to us from the 3 days here at Flowery Branch. We're going to go through those here real quick and give you our thoughts on some of the big things that stood out to us. Number one on the list.
Chase Kaufman.
Who would have thought beginning of training camp that our number one would have been Chase Kaufman?
Yeah, and it's the potential backup to the future Hall of Famer. But what I have said this, I said this on Twitter, I feel like Chase Kaufman was the most improved player from the beginning to the end of the entire offseason, 10 OTA practices and the 3 days of mini camp. You know, I was out here for every practice, and so were you, and a number of us were. I saw Chase Kaufman making catches every single day that were not routine. They were impressive catches, and he made the routine catches as well. I feel like he, you know, in Tony Gonzalez's absence, did a really nice job of stepping up and showing some of the promise that got him drafted in the third round in 2009. You know, injuries kind of slowed his career down a little bit, but I think he's found a good spot in Atlanta, and I think he's really showing that potential that he showed back then. And I've been really, really impressed with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, we started this off with a little bit of surprise that Chase would be considered somebody who would stand out in minicamp. But really, you know, I remember the year that he was drafted, and there were a lot of expectations on him. And you mentioned the injuries. He's been riddled with injuries throughout his career. He was with the Bengals. He was with the Bucks. Wasn't able to hang around at either of those places, but still those expectations remained. And he came on last year with the Falcons, was on the practice squad, then became active. He made that fantastic catch against Seattle in the playoff game, and I think that's just a little snippet of what Chase Kaufman can offer you, because he can block, he can catch, he can do all those different things. He's a versatile weapon in the offense, and I think having these OTAs and going through this offseason with the Falcons, because he didn't have that advantage last year because he was with other teams, I think has really helped him come along. He's been healthy, and like you said, the absence of Tony Gonzalez, the reps have to go somewhere, and they've gone to Chase, and they've gone to a couple of the other guys behind him. But I love what I see out of Chase Kaufman right now. And I think any of the fans that would have come during minicamp probably noticed the same thing. He made some fantastic catches today.
Absolutely. And I think the reason why it is important is because we all, most of us have this assumption that, you know, this will be Tony Gonzalez's last season. If he wants to come back for another one, I'd love it. But I think that tight end position's in transition, and the Falcons drafted Levine Toilolo out of Stanford in the fourth round this year, the tallest tight end in the NFL, by the way.
Yep.
And there's some promise behind that guy as well. So I think there's a curiosity factor involved in the tight end position, I think, and I think Chase is one of those guys that answered the call, so to speak.
Yeah, and you've got. You've got, I think, like six tight ends right now on the roster. And, you know, when all is said and done, you're probably going to ride with three on the 53-man mm-hmm. roster and then one on the practice squad. So now is the time, now being training camp when it's coming up here, for that group to kind of separate themselves. But Kaufman did a great job of doing that in minicamp. So let's move on to number two. The number two thing that stood out to us, the rookie cornerbacks, Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford.
Yeah.
Both of them had a fantastic minicamp. I think the guy who's standing out to me right now is Robert Alford. But Robert's had the benefit of being here throughout OTAs, throughout all the offseason things that the rookies go through, because, as we know, Desmond had to go back to the University of Washington. They're on the quarter system, so he had to go back and he had to complete his degree before he could join the Falcons for the final week of OTAs, and he was also here for minicamp. But you can see in Robert Alford that the full offseason being here has really benefited him. I think you're starting to see Desmond pick it up. As we saw some great matchups in minicamp with the two rookie cornerbacks battling two of the best wide receivers in the league mm-hmm. and handling themselves very well. And both of those guys really stood out to me. They look really good, and you know, who knows what's going to happen with that cornerback position, but there's still, you're going to go into camp and there's going to be a good competition there.
Yeah, there's a competition. I think most people assume that, you know, Trufant's got the edge, or, you know, the first round pick kind of being written into the starter's job, so to speak, across from Asante. And, you know, if you assume that Robert McClain's going to cover the slot, but I'm convinced that you're right. It is a competition in training camp, and both of those guys were working. They were being rotated throughout a lot of different places, with what we would consider first or second stringers throughout minicamp, throughout OTAs. You're right about Robert Alford. I think some people will be surprised by how physical he plays. And he said yesterday he can play left side, right side. He can play the slot. So he's played them all in his college career, and he's comfortable at all those places. So I think that cross-training, that versatility aspect is in his favor as well. But I think there's going to be more of a competition than some people may think between the first and second rounders. But, I mean, let the best man win, and let the other guys. He's going to be a great depth guy, and he'll probably become a starter a year or two, three down the line. So I think the Falcons I think we're starting to see the brilliance behind those two draft picks at the top of this year's draft from Dimitroff.
Let me make an observation here. I've never, ever heard an NFL coach, or any football coach for that matter, complain about having too many good cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
This
is a very good problem to have, and we'll see how it develops in training camp. Number three, all right, so I'm standing on the sideline the other day, right?
Okay.
This is the first day of minicamp. And there's a player that runs right next to me, right by me. And I swear to you, Daniel, the ground was moving.
It's funny you say that.
The ground, like, you could hear these heavy, heavy footsteps. And just, I'm like, who is this guy? Who would you think it would be?
Steven Jackson.
Absolutely correct.
I made an observation. Speaking of observations, that's a great thing that – that's, oh man, it's like we planned this, but we didn't. I said to our social media coordinator, Morgan, the other day, Steven Jackson, when he's running with the ball, like on the field, he looks like a Clydesdale horse to me.
He does.
And he's got the white socks, you know, and the white shoes, and he's got the dreads that flow. And he has this, he's a big guy.
Huge.
And he moves so well, and he runs so fluidly.
Yeah, I was talking to Brian Banks yesterday, and Brian Banks, of course, a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Brian looks at me, and he goes, because I asked him about putting the pads on in training camp, and he looks at me, and he goes, Steven Jackson is as big as I am.
Yeah.
Okay? And he basically, I kind of asked him a little bit more about it. He's like, he basically feels bad for any defense that has to face this guy and to bring him down. But he is gigantic, and you don't truly appreciate that in him until you're standing right next to you, or in my case, until he runs like right by you and brushes shoulders with you. Because I'm telling you, you can hear this guy running.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I've never experienced that with another guy where I've been standing there and been like, who is that behind
me? You felt the tremors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's registering on the Richter scale. And it's like you said, though, he's for as big as he is, it's amazing how graceful he is when he's running. Mm-hmm. And how he just glides through the field. I can't wait to see.
He's
going to
be fun to watch. I tweeted that out the other day. I think fans are really going to enjoy, you know, in the season watching him run the football and you know, make plays in the open field, so to speak, in space, because he moves a lot better than I think he gets credit for.
Yeah, I can completely agree. All right, let's move on to number four. Here was the big thing that stood out to me, and I actually had some fans ask me about this yesterday when I was live tweeting practices. I was tweeting about, oh, so-and-so just made a great catch. Oh, so-and-so just went over the middle, made a nice catch, and it just kind of continued like that. I got some tweets, what's going on with our defense?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's not that our defense is doing poorly. It's just that the offense just looks so good right now. And what's funny is that usually in my previous three training camps here, Mike Smith has said at one point or another in the early days, he has said, you know, that the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense. That's just how it works, because you come in and the defense will always look really good and you'll be like, wow, this looks great. But he'll be cautious and, you know, warn you that, hey, look, this happens all the time. I think the opposite has happened this year. And I think the offense is ahead of the defense right now, not by much. You know, the defense is looking very good. So don't take this as we've got problems on defense, because we certainly don't. But that high-powered, high-octane offense of Dirk Koetter that you saw last year, I think has gotten better. And the players within that system have gotten much more comfortable with it. So in training camp, or in mini camp right now, and you'll see it in training camp, you see the benefits of being under him for a full year.
Yeah.
And what a difference, what a progression it's been up to this point where, you know, in mini camp, this offense is clicking. And if I'm another NFL team, that makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Because this offense, I mean, on paper, we've talked about it all offseason. On paper, this offense looks amazing. Well, now we're starting to take it off paper.
Yeah.
It's not much has changed. So, you know, we'll see what happens in training camp here, but it's what stood out to me was how much the offense felt like they were ahead of the defense, at least in the traditional sense of what Mike Smith mentioned.
Yeah, you certainly make a good point, and you're right. You do hear that just from a timing perspective and the being on the same page, everyone on the same page perspective. You do hear that often in training camp, that the offense is sometimes a little behind the defense just for those reasons, where defense, you just – well, they have a scheme and they have plays within that scheme. Ultimately, the defense is still see the ball, run to the ball, hit that guy, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, the Falcons' offense looked real fluid, real in sync. And I think that's just – I think that speaks to, like you said, you know, another year in Koetter's system. But also, you know, Matt Ryan being here through all of OTAs, you know, Julio and Roddy get you know, all those guys together – I think you're right. I think they're pretty close to just being like in training camp form already. They're ready to go, I think. I don't think there's I wouldn't know, but it doesn't feel like there's going to be, based on what the players said and how they've spoken about the playbook and the offense, there doesn't sound like there's going to be, a lot of new groundbreaking stuff. There'll be new wrinkles and twists, and there's some new players in that, but they know this offense, and it shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely stood out to me. And then number five, our last thing that stood out to us is, and let's be clear here, because we're just coming off, you know, talking about the offense and talking about how the defense is definitely looking good right now. I think it's harder for the defense to stand out in these kinds of practices, because you're not wearing pads, you're not doing the thumping, you're not, you know, tackles are quote-unquote simulated. Mm-hmm. You know, sacks are quote-unquote simulated. Because, you know, you could have – OC could get to Matt, but he'll run past Matt and the play will keep going. And then maybe somebody makes a great catch down the middle and most of us are like, oh, did you see that great catch? And we're not looking at OC, you know – ultimately, he would end up with a sack.
Honestly. Right. You know, in a live situation.
Right. And that's just an observation. I think it ends up just kind of being a natural thing for us to kind of focus on the offense. However, this guy, we would be completely remiss if we didn't mention just how beastly Julio Jones looks right now. And, I mean, you talk about a guy who you look at him as like, oh, he's in his prime. He's in his prime. Let me tell you something. This guy's not in his prime.
Yeah.
Because his prime gets redefined every single time he hits the field. And you are still probably a couple years away from when he is truly in his prime. Okay? And right now, heading into year three for him, I look at him and I'm like, how much higher is this ceiling for him?
Yeah.
Because it keeps going up and up and up, and he's the one who keeps pushing it. And just to see him matching up with some of the guys, playing against Alford, playing against McLean, playing against Samuel, who are all good corners, and Samuel especially.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just amazing how effortless – he makes the game of football look sometimes.
Yeah. And when he was, I think it was it last week, the top 100 NFL players.
Yep.
He hit the list finally. I don't, in the 20s.
26, I believe. Okay.
The thing that jumped out to me, and I love the little profiles that they do as they introduce each player, Champ Bailey, in not so many words, called him the best receiver in football. Mm-hmm. Pretty high praise, but you're right. The effortless, and I think it's such a great point that you made that he probably isn't in his prime, but it sure seems like it. It sure looks like it, comparatively speaking.
You have to remind yourself that he's a third-year wide receiver. Yeah. You really do.
He is a remarkable young player, and I think I think this is the year that he becomes like the superstar that everyone in Atlanta already sees him as. I think nationally, you know, the top 100 list, I think, is a big part, big aspect of that from a league player recognition aspect. But he just seems so comfortable talking to the media among his, with his teammates, being on the field, and that some of the leadership that we've heard about that Julio's been a part of, I think, is another big step for him. And I just think you're right. The world is Julio's for the taking.
That's a great way to put it. Well, yeah, that's the end of minicamp. Can you believe it?
School's out. I'm throwing papers into the sky.
Are you? Well, don't do it in my office because I'm not cleaning it up.
When I walk out of these doors.
Okay.
All my notebooks.
Yep. Go run into the bus and that'll be it. All right. Well, we'll be back for some podcasting during this break a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll come up with some things to talk about, right?
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure we will. But until then, enjoy our coverage on AtlantaFalcons.com. We've got a lot of things hitting the site right now. And join us next week as we'll probably be back for another podcast. Right?
Yes.
You can be here?
I will be here. Right. I will be here. So we'll school's not really out after all. Summer school is starting.
I'm totally killing your buzz on the last day of school thing. So. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we will talk to you soon.